everybody. Welcome to Bloody Podcast. I am your host, Maria Felix. That over there is Lori Grogenkamp.
Hello.
And over here, to my left, is Cash Up DeMalik.
All right.
Today we... Yeah, that took a weird... We're going to ignore it. We're going to glaze right over it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I would explain it.
Today, we're shaking things up a bit.
Yes.
Mostly for ourselves. I think this is going to be fun. I think this is going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Lori and I both did a mini case. So we have two cases for you today. Two for the price of one. We both did mother and son... duos, right?
Yeah, murder duos.
I was gonna do a mother-daughter one, but the Dupree family, which is the family I was gonna do it on, is just, it's too sad.
Yeah,
and beyond that, there's not a lot of information.
Those are two great reasons to not do it.
And so we were like, yeah, it was tough. It was a tough decision, but.
Although, if it is really sad, we can always jazz it up with sound effects.
Well, yeah. I didn't do... Yeah, yeah, that's what we'll do.
Okay, we'll try it today.
That's what I always... I remember I had that brilliant idea where we introduce puns into the... Or knock-knock jokes when it gets really sad.
Oh, yeah. God. I remember that.
Maybe we'll do the Dupree family next time, and we'll get into it. But for today, ooh. I have what is known as... Glasgow's House of Blood, and Lori, you have
the Paul White murder, I guess, the murder of Paul White. There's no like fun name like House of Blood, but well, yeah. I guess it was on an episode of Evil Lives Here, so I guess Where Evil Lives. There we go. That's what I'll call it.
I tried watching that for our show just once in a while, and every episode description is a man.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah, we just call it, this is where man lives.
Yeah, a man lives here.
Man lives here.
A man
lives here. Yeah. Someone died.
And he's also evil. Yeah, mm-hmm.
But you found one.
I found one. Well, I mean, it was like, you know, the guy, it still was focused on the guy, but then also his mom like made him do it, I guess. Well, we'll get into it, but I should give it away. Scratch that from your memories.
Do you want to go first?
I can go first, or do you want to go first?
No, you go first. We're already in it.
Okay. All right. Well, another fun reason why I thought this would be great is it would show it, you really could see the juxtaposition between our storytelling abilities, because I think Maria is such a better storyteller. I'm just going to be like, all right, sit down, shut up. Let's get this. I always feel like... When I was a kid, we would have these people come over. When I was in third grade, we had these people come over who had different jobs to be like, oh, I'm a police officer. I'm a, you know, football
player.
You
mean to the school?
Yeah. Okay. And they would do like speeches as to like what they do throughout the day. And right. We had this guy who was, he was married to the teacher and he was a football player, but he like acted like he was an army sergeant. He was like, sit down, shut up.
I'm gonna talk to you about football today.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to you about football today. And by the end of the day, you're not gonna wanna do football. And I was like, all right. I mean, I feel like that's not really my career path as a third grader, but
it definitely won't be now.
Yeah.
I feel like he should give that speech to like high schoolers, because the, you know, like I'm sure some high schoolers are just like, man, if I just make it into the NFL, it's gonna be great. And he's gonna be like, nah.
Yeah. Oh,
it's tough.
There's also like, I mean, not to exclude women, but also like maybe the class was like a majority women, little girls in the class. And him saying like, after this, you won't want to do football. It was like, I'd love to poll that class and see how many girls went on to be football players. Just like,
I have the feeling that he has done it to high. He has said this speech to high schoolers, mm-hmm. and he doesn't change his speech up that often.
No.
So.
Oh, yeah.
No.
So he went in with just the one speech that he has prepped, regardless if this was an all-girl pre-K.
You are totally right, because I do remember there was a point where he goes, and all the women that come on to you.
Oh, my God.
As a third grader, I was like, what am I hearing about women? Like, What is this? Okay. So this is the murder of Paul White. Paul White was a volunteer firefighter who lived with his wife, Hilma Marie White, and their two sons, Eric and John, in Beverly Shores in Porter County, Indiana. So everybody kind of knew Paul as like this very polarizing figure. You either loved him or you hated him. His son, Eric, and his son, John, even went on to say that they had good memories of their father, but they also had a lot of memories where he was pretty physically abusive. Yeah.
Well, that's a shame. Not rooting for his death yet, but that's not cool.
No.
Keep your hands off the kids.
Yeah. So on September 1st, 1981, Paul White was sleeping on his couch in his home. His 15-year-old son, Eric White, was handling Paul's gun nearby when he accidentally tripped over a rug and the gun went off, killing his father instantly. The bullet went right into his head.
Whoops.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was cleaning your gun for you.
Oh, my finger slipped.
I also have to, I want to point out how shitty dads always sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Like you always, whenever you hear of a shitty dad dying or something, it's just like he was asleep on the couch. He passed out on the couch.
Well,
and he was dead.
I think that's all dads though. Like all dads either sleep on the couch or they have like a specific chair where they're like, this is my chair.
That's true.
You sit, you don't sit in my chair. I sit in
that's
my chair.
True.
I would like to point out that Maria often falls asleep on our couch.
Well, she's a shitty father.
I'm a shitty dad.
That's exactly what I'm leading up to. Put down the Pabst.
Why don't you just go get me another one?
Okay. Yes, dear.
All right. So the shooting was ruled as an accident and Eric was released. And there was the police were like, oh, this is just an accident. And he was released. Well, 3 years later, Paul's stepmother, Elaine White, goes missing.
Oh, no.
And they're unable to find her. But they find out that somebody has been cashing her Social Security checks. So they do like an investigation and they find out that the checks are, you know, are obviously being forged and that Hilma had gone to like the day that Elaine had gone missing, Hilma had gone to the disabilities office to see about where, how to get her checks sent to her house.
How to get Elaine's checks sent to Hilma's house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How to get Elaine's. Sorry. That was a lot of hers in that sentence. So they do like a stakeout and they find Hilma and they see Hilma, Eric, and John go like going to cash one of Elaine's Social Security checks. So they arrest all of them. And at the time, John is only 14 years old. So he was 11 when his brother accidentally killed his father, and now he's 14.
This kid is growing up in a house of issues and problems.
Yes. So now, so the cops, this is the sense I got, and this is just from reading the articles and watching a little bit of a, like a 1 minute YouTube video, so I'm could be wrong, but the sense I got was that the police were kind of just like, oh, you guys are obviously doing check fraud. You know, you should be ashamed of yourself because we don't know where Elaine is. Right. They didn't really, I don't think they thought, and this is just, again, my opinion, but I don't think they thought that they had anything to do with Elaine's murder. They just thought that they were seeing an opportunity.
Or that she was murdered yet. Right?
Or, yeah.
She's disappeared right now, but no body.
Yeah, no body. She disappeared. So they don't know that. Yeah, you're right. They don't know that she has. They don't know what's happened to her. They're just sort of like, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. How dare you, you know, take sort of take advantage of this, an opportunity like this when there's a woman out there and we don't know what's happened to her. Well,
could you do any worse? Could you be any worse of a person?
Yeah.
I mean, they're lazy cops. They care, but they're lazy.
Yeah, they're just going to scold you.
Like, oh, how could you do this? Yeah. No donut for you. Oh, here's some.
So then,
here's a half of one.
So they put Eric and John and Hilma into separate rooms, right? And they go into each room and they're just like, you know, they go to Hilma and they're, she's just like, oh, you know, we just saw an opportunity and we went for it. And then they go to John and John goes, yeah, I killed Elaine.
Oh my God.
This 14-year-old is just like, yeah, you're right. I know why you're here. I killed Elaine. It's just like,
he's 14, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, John then confesses to everything and basically says that he, and this is also corroborated by Eric. Eric later confesses, but that Hilma, their mom, convinced them that Eric needed to kill Paul because Paul was abusive and was going to leave them with nothing. So Eric shoots Paul and they make it look like an accident.
Okay.
Then, so John sees this happening, right? And then 3 years later, they live at the house that Elaine had, you know, owned. So Hilma then goes to John and says, your brother killed killed somebody. You now have to kill Elaine. It's your job because your brother's already done it.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Who is Elaine?
Elaine is Paul's stepmother. So Elaine's their grandmother.
Okay.
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah.
So she says, your grandmother's going to kick us out and we're going to be destitute. So you have to kill Elaine.
What?
So then, so John shoots Elaine with a crossbow and kills her with a crossbow.
Wow.
And then the entire family, Hilma, John, and Eric, dismember Elaine's body, chopped her up into pieces, and destroyed various, you know, evidence, knife, chisel, cleaned out the garbage disposal, all that stuff. And then put the pieces in, like, wrapped the pieces up and then drove around and scattered them in various locations in Indiana, Illinois, and California.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah.
They traveled far to scatter those remains.
Yeah. Could you imagine going on a road trip with your mom and your brother to just put body parts?
I mean, it is a family building exercise.
It is. Yeah. They probably saw some landmarks along the way. They probably saw Yosemite, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, remember that Waffle House where we left the hand? Yeah, that place is great.
It was so good.
It was good.
It was the best Waffle House along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you, hands down.
Could you be like the...
Anybody? Hands down?
Get out of the car, Eric.
What were you going to say?
Get out of the car.
Yeah.
I will not be ignored.
You're walking home, buddy. You're walking home. I just think it would be so fun because it would be like, if I was a kid in that car, I would be like, hey, we're going to go to Disney World. And the mom's like, no, we're not going to Disney World. It's way out of the way. It goes, we're going to Disney World or I'm going to freaking yell out the window that we got body parts in here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all holding up the leg. He's like, we're going to Disney World.
We'll go to California Adventure, but that's it.
Pulls out an ear.
Yeah.
What was that?
What did you say?
Nothing, honey. Nothing.
We're getting all the fast passes.
Yeah, we're going to... Yeah, I was right. I meant Disneyland. Sorry. I did Disney World in Orlando. But But
they're not the same.
They're not the same?
No.
One's really big. Which one's? Well, one's like a world, so that should give you...
Yeah.
Oh, Disney... Oh, yeah, okay. Disney World's like a big, big deal, huh?
Yeah. Disney World's big. It's like a whole town. Like, it's like, I mean, Disneyland is bigger than a lot of towns. So Disney World is... It's big.
Okay, cool. Good to know. if I'm ever in Florida.
It's like, well,
I want to go there.
I'll tell you this. We spent like a day at Epcot Center just when I went to Disney when I was a kid, just trying all the food. And it was like, we barely scratched the surface of Epcot Center. Like, it is a
big... Epcot Center... I'm sorry.
It's all the different, like, nationalities. So you go and you have, like, Italian food, German food.
Oh.
French food, I'm assuming. We just did Italian.
I thought Epcot Center was, like, the whole thing.
No.
No.
Really?
That's just... At least you have the rides and... And there are, like, Disneyland people screaming at you right now.
Oh, yeah. There's so many people.
Oh, fucking sorry, guys. So sorry I didn't fucking make it to Florida to go fucking...
Relax.
To Florida.
Yeah, relax.
I always wanted to go.
Everybody, Cash has never been to Disneyland or Disney World.
You've never been to Disneyland?
No, I have been to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, didn't you get...
Yeah, on my birthday, and I got broken up with.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah.
So it's like not going to Disneyland because clearly it was the wrong person to go with.
Yeah.
Wait, did plan on it breaking up with you or did it just happen?
No, I think I worked that magic in myself. I think that we were going there. It was like my first girlfriend and like legitimate. And I think that I don't know what happened. We were both like existential. And I think at some point she was just like, this can't work. And I was like, it's my birthday.
Oh, no.
It was your birthday?
It was my birthday, yeah.
You got broken up with on your birthday at Disneyland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fine.
She was a bitch.
What a... Yeah.
She's dead now.
I hope you're listening, and I hope you're sitting on piles of shit.
No, it's fine.
No, by all means.
Yeah, by all means. Break up with her. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch. Okay,
I was gonna say,
we took a tangent.
No, I was gonna say, like, yeah, we know what we got, but then I was like, I'm not a part of this. I'm not in the relationship. Like, why am I being happy about it? But you are.
Because of the podcast.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. If you hadn't married, you wouldn't be in the podcast. So that's good.
That's right.
Good. I'm glad. All right.
Me too. Okay, so where were we?
So
they travel over.
So they travel around burying body parts, putting body. I would love to know how far they like buried them. If they just kind of like put them on a trash can and ran away.
It seems like an Easter egg situation where they like hid them behind bushes or like telephone poles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Idiots.
So John confesses, right? He confesses all this stuff. So then they go to Eric, and Eric's like, yes, this is true. Basically what happened was that his mom, Hilma, had been trying to kill Paul for months.
Oh, my gosh.
Damn.
She had...
He was abusive, right?
Yeah, he was abusive. But also his mom was pretty abusive, too. Obviously.
Was he for real abusive, or was he just like in the way but like abusive? Like, she's just saying it.
Well, they did say that. I mean, they said it, there were several articles where they said that the boys, they said the thing where they remember good times, but they also remember a lot of abuse. So,
right.
I mean, look, I think abuse of any kind is bad. So, you know, maybe it was, I mean, my parents were abusive when I was a kid. I still love them. So maybe it was like not a level of abuse where it was like, you know, I have to separate from my family sort of thing. But mm-hmm. Abuse of any kind isn't good. So I'm not trying to rate. I'm not trying to rate abuse. Like
this. Plus, like you said, they're both abusive.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So the mother, Hilma, had been trying to poisoning Paul's food by lacing it with rat poison and Valium.
Oh.
Daring combination.
A little Sixth Sense action.
Yeah. So she...
Wait, was that... Forget it.
Yeah, that's what they put in that girl's food, right? Because
Barton's food.
Munchausen by proxy.
I thought it was that or Lysol. I can't remember.
Let's say that's what it was. Let's just say it.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. So she apparently... Paul is just eating this food like, you put something new in it? It's pretty good. Like, nothing's happening. And so she then convinces her son that they're going to get divorced. And when they get divorced, that Paul is going to kick them out and they're going to end up living on the streets. And so she basically tells him, like, you have to kill your father. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You will die at the hands of your father if you do not kill him.
Hmm.
So then they go. So he shoots his father. That happens. Well, then the mom then goes to John and tells John, look, you need to kill your grandmother again. You know, she's going to kick us out, all that stuff. So, so Eric says that she was essentially pressured into doing it. He said that after Paul's death, he found out that his mother was poisoning. He found out his mother was also trying to kill his grandmother by poisoning her as well. But she was the same. She was just like, oh, is this new? Is this a new soup? Like, this tastes great. And that wasn't working. So then she got John involved. And Eric tried to escape to the Navy because he didn't want to, he didn't want to be around his family anymore. But right. His mom kept calling him and calling him, saying that they needed help, that he ended up going back to his mom. And then that's when they killed the grandmother and dismembered the body. And the mom even left a piece of the body in his car so that when he drove back to his base, he found that he still had a piece of his grandmother's body in his car.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
God.
Yeah. So he ended up going AWOL from the Navy and then they found out about the checks, and then they were all arrested, and then that's when they confessed. So
damn.
Yeah.
Poor kids, man. Poor kids. Your mom's horrible.
Yeah. So the brothers pleaded guilty to voluntary manslaughter and agreed to testify against their mother. They received between 5 and 20 years, which I think is kind of a crazy difference.
It's a big jump.
Yeah. They were released in 1996 due to good behavior. And however, Hilma Marie White received a 90-year sentence.
Good.
Yeah, her prison term was to run concurrent for 50 of the concurrent. She received 50 years for the murder of her husband, and then I think some time for, like, the attempted murder for her. 60 murders for the murder of her husband, and then 30 for the attempted murder of the mother-in-law.
60 years for her husband and 30 for
the grandmother.
The mom.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So do you think that she wanted to kill the grandmother as soon as she killed her husband?
Yeah, because she started in on the grandmother as soon as, I mean, within 3 years, the grandmother was dead and they were forging the checks.
Yeah, I wonder if she blamed the mother. I wonder if she blamed Elaine for, like, whatever way that she thought Paul was, or whatever she thought was wrong with Paul.
Yeah. Well, she also, like, had the same, because Elaine was subsidizing was helping them. So she probably had the same mentality of, like, she's going to, you know, she's going to take it all and we have to kill her in order to keep it for ourselves.
Mm. The real victims in this are her kids. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But at least they, you know, they had some good behavior and they got out.
Yeah, but they killed somebody at the behest of their mom. They did.
So I mean, not to be an asshole, but I also think the real victims were the victims. So
I was leading up to a joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's
been
sorry.
Ruined.
Start over.
No, no, no,
start
no, no.
Over.
Start, it's
start,
done.
Start over.
Who are the real victims in this?
The real victims are the victims. Honestly, the problem was my setup. So that's my penalty, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I have to say, Hilma looks insane.
She does.
She is rail thin. Mm-hmm. She has I think she might have a thyroid problem. She has like a huge Adam's apple.
Yeah, that's a gullet.
Oof.
And she looks like a bird. Honestly, mm-hmm. there's this picture of her standing behind Eric. She looks like an evil bird.
She looks like the wife of a Klan member in the 1800s.
She's terrifying. She's very gaunt. And she's all emerging from the shadows. She's all,
I'm here for your spirit.
She earned a college degree, which I would love to know what that college degree was for. Was it for like fine arts? Like what was the?
Yeah, it's not that hard to earn a college degree. I mean, I'm sure she was smart. And they all were smart. It's sad.
And Lori, don't make fun of fine arts degrees, okay?
Graphic design college.
God damn you.
What's wrong with that? That's a good living.
Nothing.
I have a fine arts degree, and I did nothing with it.
Well, you're in the arts.
Oh, yeah. She looks like she was at the insurrection, for sure. She looks like she...
Sure.
She, in 2000, she petitioned a sentence for modified sentencing, which was denied. So now it looks like she could potentially be released April 2027.
No.
And in an episode of ID, I think it's called like Where Evil Lives or Evil Lives Here.
Evil Lives Here.
Eric stated that he regretted his actions, but that he still has remorse, obviously, for what happened. He says he misses his dad and remembers the good times he had with him. And he also finds it hard to come to grips with the fact that he killed one of the most important figures in his life.
Yeah, that's really tough. That's
got to be tough.
So sad.
That's my boy.
Was that your joke from earlier?
No, I'm just riffing. Straight riffing.
That
man.
Was the joke.
Oh, I thought
earlier. It was. No, it wasn't the joke from earlier. I had to do with 1996.
I thought it was
very specific.
I thought it was Paul had come through you as a spirit. I was like, that's my boy.
Yeah, that's why I came out so scratchy.
Yeah. Hey, you guys got any of that rat poison soup? That tastes real good.
Yeah. Was that oregano?
I just love that, like, this fam, like it's like a Rasmutin kind of thing where they, like, literally, she literally was like, I have been trying to kill you for so goddamn long.
Yeah. And I had to get the kid to do it. The kid had to do it.
Yeah.
I almost want to see them admit that to each other, like, you know, Maria and I will do this thing from time to time where we pretend that we're an old couple that's just mean to each other before we're super nice to each other. Where it's just like, oh, God, another day, huh? What is this, more gruel? I almost want to see them fight with each other. I've been trying to kill you for years, Paul. Keep trying. You know, like.
Yes. Well, I agree with you. I think the 80s are that type of relationship where I bet she was like, I put rat poison and Valium in this, and he's like, it tastes great, put some more in, I'm never gonna die.
I can only hope to God that it works.
Like, he would eat it in front of her as some like weird twisted way to, and then they would just have like so much just like sex on the table after he finished.
Hate sex. I can't wait for this to be over.
He's like pouring the rat poison on her face.
Yeah.
Lap it up.
Eat it. This is a terrible couple.
The kids walk in. They're just like,
all right.
Fucking, it's another Wednesday.
Yeah. And Eric's just like, I feel like I'm going to have to kill Dad.
This is definitely a Law and Order SVU episode.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I wonder if they have done it before. I bet they have.
They've done stuff that's similar for sure.
This was like a Stabler era.
Yeah.
He gets all mad and he's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Have you guys
Hilma
been...
would...
Oh, sorry. What are you saying?
Hilma would hit on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I like the cut of your jib. He's like, you couldn't handle my jib.
Yeah. I can handle those jeans.
Get off of me.
Have you guys been watching Organized Crime at all?
No. We've seen...
Oh, you mean, I thought you meant sarcastically, and I thought you meant crime in general.
Have you guys been watching the report?
The New York Post ticker?
Have you guys been looking at Life? What, like the game or the magazine? No, like the Life, dude.
No, just like Life.
We saw the pilot. And his face was so weird in the pilot.
Yes. And who's? In part of episode two, he's got a weird thing going on with his chin.
Maloney has a weird thing going on with his chin.
Have you guys seen that picture of his butt?
Yeah, that's some buns of steel, I have to say.
Yeah, big old dump truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, his daughter posted a TikTok about it. It was great.
Yeah.
He's got a huge ass.
He's got a nice ass for, like, how old is he?
Oh, he's got to be, what?
Like, even for his age. He's got to be in his 50s. He has, like, a 20-year-old ass.
Did you guys ever watch Happy, that show Happy?
No.
It was based off a graphic novel. I really like the graphic novel, and I'd only watched the first season. I haven't watched the second season, but he plays, like, a grizzled old cop who then turns into, like, a junkie alcoholic hitman. Mm-hmm. And when they do flashbacks, there's a scene where he's fucking his partner in, like, the storage room, and he's completely nude for some reason, and she's, like, got all of her clothes on.
Well, I mean, Maloney will go nude.
Yeah.
For no reason. I mean, Oz, he was naked all over the place.
Oz. Oh, yeah. He showed his dick all the time in Oz.
Yeah. They're like, you have to rape this guy. He's like, cool. He's derobing. They're like, you don't have...
No,
all right, dude, go.
You don't actually have to. I was just like, wow, he's got a nice ass. But yeah, he's
proud of his body.
Yeah.
He's got a great ass.
Good for him.
Let's all raise a glass to that ass.
There it is.
There we go. All right, speaking of ass, Maria.
She's got it in spades.
All right. Well, thank you, Laurie. That was cool. Are they? So they're out. The kids are, right?
The kids are out. Yeah. The mom hasn't. She's still inside. I don't know. Maybe she's using her, you know, degree in computer technologies to.
Technologies.
Yeah.
Instead of just the why, she's like, yeah, no, I got it at ITT Tech. Okay, yeah. They teach you technologies more than one.
I can take apart a computer and put it back together, and it almost always works. So,
not Max, though.
Yeah.
By the way, I'd like to say that what you guys are doing is pretty cool. It's like, normally we eat one muffin, but now we got two small muffins.
Yeah.
Murderous muffins.
Variety.
Mini murder muffins.
That's fun. I'd love that.
Now I'm hungry for muffins.
I am too. God damn it. Sorry. I miss bread.
Oh.
Maria?
Tell me about it.
So this is the Glasgow House of Blood. On October 16th, 2004, Mother of the Year, Edith McAlendon, was released from her most recent stint in prison. What's the
point? What are you laughing at?
Mother of the Year?
Mother of the Year.
She's really, she's great. She's really gonna, she's top notch. This time, she had just done 9 months on an assault charge.
Damn.
Yeah. Edith was 37 years old and had a long criminal history of prostitution, thievery, and assault. And to no one's surprise, she was also an alcoholic.
Oh, you got to get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get through it. That's right. That is 100% it.
She's like, I just stabbed this dude. Now I'm selling my ass. Got to take a stiff drink.
I'm sure that's what she yelled at people when they were like, are you done drinking? You got to get through it.
And they were reacting the same way you do. They're like, fucking, yeah, look at her.
Yeah, oof. Man.
Oof. Okay.
If I look like that, I get drunk every day.
Upon her release, Edith went right back to it. From prison, she headed straight to her boyfriend's. Edith's boyfriend was David Gillespie, or Gillespie, probably, 42 years old. David, like Edith, was regularly homeless. But for now, he was currently living at Ian Mitchell's place. Ian was a good friend of both of theirs, and Edith normally referred to Ian as Pops, because of his age, probably, because he was 67.
Come on at Pops' place, I'll take care of you. High on drugs? Not a problem.
Not a problem.
Call Pops.
I mean, I'm sure it was one of those situations where it's like, all right, you're getting too out of control. You got to go. You got to go, man. You got to go.
That's true.
Yeah.
But me, there's so many bad situations that I would get involved with that probably happened. It's okay. Dear God.
Ian's place was in Cross Hill, Glasgow, Scotland, on the top floor. He had a flat on the top floor. So Edith arrived and her, David, Ian, and their fellow flatmate Anthony Coyle, known as Tony, who was 71 years old, start or more than likely continue drinking. Like Edith starts, but like the other guys probably were continuing.
I don't want to seem ageist because I've been called on other podcasts ageist, but this seems like a very old crew.
it's an old crew. Two of the guys are super old and the other, yeah, everyone's too old to be day drinking, yes. Period.
Yes.
You're never too old. We're trying to figure it out. You gotta get through it.
I just, for some reason, I just imagine that you're just like a janitor at a high school that's just like seeing some kids do drugs. And you're just like, look at my life in Georgia based on your life.
Hey, I spent a lot of time near high schools. I don't work there. And I often yell at children.
Yeah. And I'll go.
And I just piss my pants.
I was just going to say, and I piss in the supply closet.
And that's what I call my pants. The supply closet. Reach in there and fish out some hammers, would you, boy? I'm so drunk.
That's what I call my dick.
What the hammer? Hey.
Okay. Oh man, that's funny.
That's really great. Okay, what was I?
I totally lost my train of thought. She's hanging out with.
So she's hanging out with the old crew. She's hanging out with Pops. We know one of them is old because he's called Pops. So you're not being ageist. You're just being real this time.
Yeah, she's hanging out with the bucket list and the cast
on
the bucket list.
So hours of them getting shit-faced pass. And eventually, as drunks are wont to do, Edith and David start arguing.
Natural pastime. Pretty good.
Yes. So, during the argument, Edith got so angry that she grabbed a knife and stabbed David's thighs repeatedly.
Oof, that'll do it.
As she did, she severed a femoral vein. So David, his blood thinned by the alcohol, quickly began to bleed out.
Oof.
As the other two men stood by and did nothing, Edith panicked. And then she had the genius idea to pick up the phone and call not the police, but her 17-year-old son, John.
Smart.
Very smart.
Smart.
John was also homeless and probably had been for a long time, given that his mom is a piece of shit.
Sorry, John. Get it? That sucks.
I was really hoping he was like a doctor or something.
Yeah.
A 17.
He's the chief of police.
Yeah. 17-year-old chief of police.
It's like Doogie Howser, but the cops.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I mean, honestly, though, is it out of the realm that there's a police station run by a 17-year-old?
I mean, honestly, I think you're going to see it this fall on ABC.
Yeah. Yeah. Oddly enough, starring Edie Falco again. She's going to try and pretend to be 17.
And a boy.
Yeah.
So besides him being homeless, we don't know much else about him. John showed up in a taxi with his 16-year-old friend, Jamie Gray. Edith had told Ian, Pops, that they were there to help David. So when they arrived, Pops paid the taxi fare and escorted the two upstairs to his flat. Mm. When I don't know why Pops would believe this in the first. Like, this is the problem when people are afraid to call the cops. Mm. Clearly, she's afraid to call the cops because she has a history with the cops. And there's no way to explain. She stabbed somebody. This was no accident. She stabbed him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then the other dudes are also afraid to call the cops, clearly, because they don't call the cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like if you're in that situation where you are someone who does not want to call the police when shit really goes down, trouble is abhorrent. It's just going to be, it's going to be a problem.
It's a tricky situation. Right?
Yeah. You know? And I mean, I understand not wanting to call the cops. Definitely.
Yeah.
But once somebody is stabbed, then you got to call somebody.
Yeah.
I would say like,
and it can't be a teenager.
Yeah. I was going to say, having somebody in here who actually works with teenagers regularly, I wouldn't call them like to get me a yogurt. Like teenagers are often not reliable. I definitely don't think that, if I was in a jam and I didn't want to call the police, my first thought would be, let me call my 17-year-old son. My first thought would be like, what older man do I know that is in my vicinity that could help me with this situation?
Yeah, I guess it definitely wouldn't be like, let me call my 17-year-old homeless son that I didn't even see before I decided to come start drinking after I got out of prison.
After she got out of prison, she didn't even go see him.
She didn't see him. I'm sorry, I did this.
I said something bad happened. You gotta come over now.
I mean, I guess maybe, I mean, I don't know. Am I missing something? But if they're both homeless, how are they able to communicate with each other?
Pigeons.
Oh. I mean, cell phones. You could probably have.
Oh.
Anyway, she was able to communicate with her boyfriend and go to his place. He didn't pick her up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's pigeons.
Edith has her priorities. Okay. Clearly she has had them for a long time.
Yeah.
Pigeons
and drugs.
Pigeons. Yes.
It's definitely pigeons, guys.
So
that's should be called Pigeon Wireless. That's what we should create a phone plan. And then it's just pigeons. And people are like, wait, I thought it was a phone plan. It's like, no, it's pigeons. Like, what? It's called Pigeons Wireless. Why would we not do pigeons?
People would be so mad.
It's like, but we charge by the minute. Yeah, the minute that the pigeon is flying, we charge.
Yeah. It's not a sound business plan, but you signed the fucking contract. Like,
yeah. You're locked in for a year.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah, we can extend it. That's part of the contract. All right, we came up with a good sound business model.
Yeah. Don't go with any other business. Those are for the birds.
Oh.
I have my hands up for the fucking NCIS guitar. Do you want me to go?
No, I'm going to go.
All right.
Next one, you're getting it.
So when John walked in, and Edith explained what happened, John's first decision was to get rid of the witnesses.
I wonder how
Jesus.
Charming she was when he first, if she was just like immediately like, there's a body on the floor, I killed him. Or if she was like, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Gave how him are a you, big son? Hug. How are you doing, my boy?
Oh, my boy. It's so good to see
you. It's good to see you. Someone died.
What?
Someone died.
Oh, someone's dead.
On the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So John turned around and stabbed Pops.
Holy shit, not Pops!
Wait. Hold on. He just turns around and just starts stabbing the 67-year-old man?
Oh, man.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My God. This is like, these two are in sync.
Yeah, as soon as Edith explained what happened, and then he saw what happened, because David's lying there dead, then he turned around and stabbed Ian. There are some reports that say that there was some kind of argument that John had with Ian about him trying to rape Edith, about Ian trying to rape Edith, but it's really fleeting, and I don't know if this actually happened during the attack, like if they actually had this argument or if it was something that John added on later to try to justify his actions.
Oh, Jesus. I thought you were saying that John wanted to rape his mother, but it was Pops who wanted to rape. He's claiming that Pops wanted to rape Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's probably just like a, you know, it probably, honestly, yeah. probably was like the pops probably was like, what's that on the floor? It's like, you looking at my mom? You want to rape my mom? It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, please help David. Please help him. He's like, why are you looking at my mom that way?
There's a man on the floor. Stop giving her fuck eyes. What are fuck eyes?
Yeah, is that a thing?
Hey, the old fuck eyes.
That's like the last thing he says before he dies. What are fuck eyes? Ah, my liver.
Well, he falls to the ground and John repeatedly kicks Ian in the head.
Kicks him? No! That's not
fair. That's not funny. You're still laughing.
It's so awkward. I can't help it. It's so terrible. Why would
it's
you
very
kick
sad.
Him?
It's called the Glasgow handshake.
Okay.
The irony is rich. Okay, I'm sorry. That's it.
Oh,
I'll stop.
God.
I'll stop adding in so we can eat. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's okay. It's about to get sad.
Oh,
sadder. So okay. The kicks in the head caused Ian's brain to begin bleeding, and the savage beating didn't stop there.
No.
While this occurred, Tony's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Tony tried to lock himself in his room, but John and Jamie used a drill in the house to take the locks out of his door.
Oh, that poor man. Could you imagine just watching the locks come undone?
Oh, terrible.
Oh.
They entered, and according to Jamie, he hit Tony over the head with a golf club.
Hey. No, I was real. That was real. I wasn't doing a bit.
We'll never know exactly who did what, but when police conducted their investigations, they said that the men had been beaten with an axe, a baseball bat,
oh my God,
golf clubs, a hammer, knives, metal files, a belt, and pieces of wood.
These are all the things that you could acquire in Grand Theft Auto to hit people with. What the fuck is going on in this house?
Maybe that's what these two are thinking.
They were just like going around the house and finding items. All right, yeah. They've beaten him with an axe. I got a baseball bat and a belt. Bring him. Like, what?
Yeah. By the way, I got a really good idea for a video game in about 20 years.
20?
No, in about 15.
No, it's already happened.
Oh, shit.
This was 04. The new first GTA was already out.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure.
Yeah, but it wasn't anything like...
You could get stuff like this. You could get like a
gun.
Yeah,
I guess you could.
Well, I don't know.
I'm sure John was like, this is Grand Theft Auto. And his mom's like, what? He's like, nothing.
Well, this is something you can't do in GTA. After they were dead, or after I should say they were done beating them and stabbing them, the trio poured boiling water on the men's heads.
Oh, why?
They said it was to ensure that they were really dead.
Oh, so like if they had boiling water on their heads, they would scream from the pain.
And they would definitely die, probably.
And they would die. Wait, trio? Who else is there?
Oh, the girl that's with the son.
Edith is still there.
Oh.
Edith hasn't gone anywhere. She's standing by watching all this happen.
To her friends.
To her friends. Yeah.
Jesus.
Low.
So then around 3 a.m., Edith, who later claims that this is when she had realized what happened after sobering up, went to a neighbor's house and begged him to help her and that something was wrong with David. So the neighbor followed Edith back to the flat where he said he peered in and he saw that blood was covering the floor, the walls, and even the ceiling.
Ugh.
I think that it's not clear what happened immediately next, but I'm assuming what happened immediately next is that he closed the door and left to call the police. Because he did call the police. And then when the police showed up, Edith was there alone. Oof. So I'm sure the neighbor was just like, you know, I left tea on.
Yeah. Tea, you left? Oh, it's fine. All right. I'll wait here. I'll wait here for you. Bring me a cup of tea, would you?
I sure will.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Oh, you didn't.
What kind of tea? What kind of tea is it?
chamomile.
I love chamomile.
Okay. I'll be back with some tea and some biscuits.
All right, love.
Okay. So
wait.
So the neighbor's description of the house when he looked in would quickly give the crime the nickname the House of Blood in the media.
It should have been called the House of Knickknacks and Random Items that were used to beat people to death.
Because well, that's yeah, that has a ring to it. You're right.
Yes, yeah.
It's way better than House of Blood.
I thank you. I agree with you.
I'm sure that was the first pitch for the equivalent of the New York Post in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're fired. Parker, get in here.
I'm going to take my talents to New York.
So when the police arrived, they found Edith alone clutching David's body, begging him to wake up.
Okay.
Yeah. Edith was immediately arrested.
Good.
And the investigation into the three murders began. But remember, Edith was alone when the police came. So the police, during their investigation, said that it was fairly obvious to them that probably 2 to 3men were involved besides Edith due to the extent of violence at the scene. And for her own part, Edith had smeared her own blood all over the apartment and on the men's bodies, supposedly to plant her DNA in a place she already was and definitely contributed killing to.
You see, now that's the cool thing about drinking. It opens your mind.
Yeah.
It expands your horizons to be like, hey, man. I shouldn't do this, but you know what? I'm going to.
Yeah. She probably was like, what happens if they're vampires? And they just need my blood to get going again.
Yeah.
Aye.
Stabs the same vein that she stabbed on David. She's like, this one leaked out a lot.
This one's a gusher.
Yeah. Pshing, pshing, all over the walls.
You're doing it, Edith. You're doing it.
Hey, you're saving lives and you're making art. Edith, you're a revolutionary.
Hey.
So Edith wasn't giving up any info about her son's involvement. But 2 weeks later, a homeless resident, a homeless shelter, the equivalent of a homeless shelter kind of hostel situation in Glasgow by the name of Brian Gallagher, went to the police. And he said that a fellow resident of the place, John McGallanton, was boasting about the murders. And he had told Brian,
stab the guy in the legs, man. There's blood everywhere. It's a fella tried to rape my ma. So I had to teach him a lesson, eh?
He also said he
did my ma's boyfriend. All the help of my brother Jamie Gray. Fucking shite, man.
I feel like you got to rephrase there, bud. You said, did your mom's boyfriend?
Hey.
That's what he said.
Hey, Plowder.
That.
I won't. I'm from the streets of Glasgow.
Oh, man.
Hey.
So both John and Jamie were arrested, and all three of them were charged with murder. When Edith arrived at the Corton Vale prison, she told everyone that she was one of the killers from the House of Blood and showed off about it. News from other prisoners said that she started having a string of lesbian relationships as soon as she arrived.
Well, I mean, yeah. When you get, you know.
She's also not new to prison.
No.
One inmate said,
before the court case, she was tolerated, though not liked. She swanned in here as if she owned the place and then set about chasing young lasses for sex. What kind of a woman does that? I ask ye.
Chasing.
I'm waiting for an answer.
Chasing? They're in a cell. Like, it's not like she has to go like, I'm going to get you.
She might have to.
They are in circles often.
Yeah. So then when the gory details about her actual case started emerging and getting back to the prison, and prisoners started finding out that she had stood by as her son committed murder, some prisoners started turning against her, while others obviously feared her a lot. And then, so, like, there was another comment from the same inmate that said,
"She's on borrowed time as far as some inmates are concerned. She is a subhuman bitch who should be festering in hell." Cages.
Subhuman bitch is pretty good.
Subhuman bitch is like, that's I'm going to call somebody that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Russian punk rock girl group. Subhuman
bitch. I love that. Yeah. I like that. Subhuman bitch.
There's two bands called the Subhumans. They're both great.
Really?
Yeah. There's one from Canada that's a lot. I like a lot more than the British one, but the British ones are great too. Mm. But Subhuman bitch, that's fucking. Mm.
There
I'm
going
to use that.
I'm going to start a punk rock group called the Subhuman Bitch.
Nice.
Yeah, I got the haircut for it now.
I was going to say. You do.
Jinx.
So Edith, John, and Jamie all went to court at Glasgow's High Court in May of 2005. Initially, they pled not guilty. And as soon as they had arrived at the courthouse and saw each other, people said that they were giggling and chatting together like it was like a tiny reunion. Super rude.
Hey! Oh my god, good to see you!
So good to see you!
You look like you've lost weight! Oh my god, what are you doing?
This also shows how mentally ill she is, because how can you be excited to see two 17-year-old boys?
Yeah.
Even if one is your kid, it's just like, oh god, like, I already have to deal with court today.
Yeah, because then all they want to talk to you about is, like, Pokemon, and you're like, ugh, all right, I get it. Pokemon's fine.
That's it. Yeah.
And then, like, oh, that time they murdered a bunch of people. It's like, ugh, yeah. Okay, just those two things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk to me when you got a Charizard. Is that a thing?
Charizard.
Charizard?
Yeah. Charizard.
Charizard.
There we go.
There, you did it. You said it right.
So, they enter their plea of not guilty, but then the prosecution showed a video that police had taken at the scene. The video showed the state of the apartment right after the attack. It showed the bloody halls, the weapons used, including the drill and golf clubs with tufts of hair on them. Mm. The downstairs neighbor also testified, and he said that it had sounded like thunder upstairs on the night of the murder. After the video was shown, the three of them changed their plea. They each pled guilty to one murder each. Edith said she killed David, John pled guilty to the murder of Ian, and Jamie to the murder of Tony. They all said that their plan was to make it seem like someone else had murdered David, not Edith, and therefore they killed the others in order to try to frame the story that way. It's so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so stupid.
John and Jamie received 12 years to life, while Edith received 13 years to life. So John and Jamie could be out on parole in 5 years, while Edith had to stay in prison till at least 2018. All three were still laughing and joking as they were led away.
That's such fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but their jokes were like, look at that guy on that bench over there.
Yeah, they just had like mean homeless jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just making fun of people for being fat.
A lot of the word faggot going around. Hey, yeah. Faggot. I really could use a faggot because, you know, faggot means cigarette back there. So.
Oh. Are you going to keep that in?
Sure, why not?
It's a pretty tricky loophole.
I mean, I'm a gay person, right? Aren't I allowed to say that? I should be allowed. I think I'm allowed.
You're the authority that has to answer that in this case.
Mm-hmm. Am I the authority?
In this case. Yes. Out of the three of us. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I feel weird being given that power, but yeah.
You're the gay authority here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. I'll take that on.
So.
Faggot.
2000. Oh my god. Whoa.
That fucking stays in.
It's the way to cut it out.
Oh shit.
I'm almost done.
Okay.
In 2011, Edith was in the news as reports emerged that the then recently arrested Theresa Riggi, who had killed her children, had cozied up to Edith and another prisoner, Caroline Dunsmore, for protection from other inmates. Riggy is an American who was arrested for the killing of her twin boys and 5-year-old daughter. The Sun had previously reported that she had been beaten in prison, thus the newfound friends that she made.
Oh.
Caroline Dunsmore, on the side, was arrested after she let her daughters be sexually abused in her own home. So these are like two. So Edith and Caroline are like obviously despised in prison,
mm-hmm.
you know, by other inmates. And they probably have their, you know, their like despicable group of friends together.
In yeah.
To survive. So she joined them. I noticed that whenever we do cases in the UK, they have way more goss from the prison than Americans do.
Yeah.
They like you're not going to hear about this in an American prison. It's not going to make the news, but the Sun is like always getting these reports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About, well, like what they're up to.
They do more goss. We do more
gun violence
and yeah. rape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, is that known? Do we, is that a, there's a, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that, yeah, look, yeah. I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying I didn't know that that was a known.
Abuse of the inmates in the system.
Yeah. That's prison's number one export.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Oh, I thought you were talking about just like in general. Is that not like a unanimous like thing in jail? I just assumed that,
no,
that was like
it's really not. It's really not. It is
wow.
Very, very American. But I mean it happens
is very American, yeah.
It happens in a lot of places also, but in America they're like, this is like currency.
Wow.
So sad.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. I remember they were talking about like these two women who were like in love with each other, and one of them like got to move to the prison where the other one was staying at, and it was like they're now they can be a couple, and it was like they're prisoners, right? They're still going to be prisoners, so that's kind of
yeah, funny. But they're a couple,
yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, I forget which serial killer or killer it was that the lady that she like kept sending. I think we talked about her. She kept sending her lingerie that she had in prison to like a crime museum in the UK. Yes. She's like beloved by the dude that owns it because of it.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's lingerie and stuff that they get in there. So, you know, I don't know what's going on in the UK prison system, but it seems like it's not totally for profit like ours.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. And there's less rape, which is nice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Then in 2014, Edith made the news again, this time by herself, when her poetry was part of a prison art project that was reported about in the news. And we'll get to her some excerpts from her poems and like at the end here. We're almost done.
Okay.
But the last update is that John and Jamie were released in 2016.
Ooh. Wow.
And although we don't know what happened to Jamie, John was in the news again in 2018 for abusing his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
Lauren Cassidy, in public.
Mm.
Witnesses said John was shouting and swearing at her and knocked the phone out of her hand, and that he then punched her and kicked her. But John, even though John was arrested, his girlfriend refused to press charges, so the charges were dropped.
Smart.
And that's it. That's what's happening with them. I honestly tried to look up if Edith was out, because she was supposed to get out in 2018 was the earliest she could get out. There is no info on if she's out. So I think she is, and she's just staying under the radar for now.
Ugh.
Well, I hope that she, you know, has sort of put that behind her, and I hope she maybe is able to do, you know, be a productive member of society. But
well, yeah, her son's doing so well. Yeah. I can only imagine. Yeah. She's thriving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe they all got COVID.
Well, yeah, that'll be a hope that we all have for years to come. Maybe they're dead of COVID. So
yeah. So to end the episode, here's a couple of excerpts from Edith's two poems. The first one is called Help Me. And in that one, she writes,
"Help me now. I find myself coming close to an important time. I could be out of these walls soon well, 3 years' time. I need help, and I just don't know where to get it. I need some help. I truly don't know.
Beautiful poetry.
It's like a song.
Yeah, kind of.
I think that was then, the impetus for John Lennon's help.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I need somebody.
Not just anybody.
And then in Pathways, she writes,
turned out to be the path of destruction. I don't care to share those memories, but I'm heading down another path now. To your house.
You sound like...
Yeah, right?
You sound like Maggie Smith when she plays Professor McGonagall in Harry Potter.
Well, cool. I mean, Professor McGonagall would probably beat her ass in prison.
Yeah. Maybe we should do it as Alan Rickman instead.
Yeah, do it as Alan Rickman.
Turned out to be the path of destruction. I don't care to share those memories.
It's way better.
That's good.
I'm like... heading down another path now. One, two, three, four.
What?
Five.
What are just counting? Him counting. I don't do a good Alan Rickman, but it's fun.
I thought it was good.
Oh, thanks.
I thought it was going to be more like Dr. Seussie. Like, we killed him with a ratchet. We killed him with a hatchet. It made a lot of ratchet.
Yeah, I really wish she would have tried better to rhyme, but
no,
whatever.
She didn't try. She clearly never tries.
No other sound can match it. If there's crabs, I'll catch it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I love how she was like, I think I need to rhyme, but like only on the last word, and then everything else doesn't need to rhyme.
I'm heading down another path now. That kind of rhymes. Yeah. Not really.
That reminds me of my when I took a poetry class, and this guy in the poetry class kept trying to make poems about the professor and how sexy she was. And he would always do really terrible rhymes, and so he'd be like, she's got a nice dress on today. Maybe she'll wear a pantsuit like the other day. Just like, that's not a rhyme, buddy. Like,
was that Drake in your class?
Drake was in my class. That's right before he made it big. He took a community college poetry writing class.
Yeah.
And that's the one that did it. That's how he learned. He found his talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, the lead singer of Weezer learned how to write songs from a UCLA class. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Wherever. And it shows.
Okay, well,
I don't know why we went on that tangent, but yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Maria. That was a fun story. Thanks, Cash, as always, for being there to make sounds.
Thank you for your story. We'll be back next week, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Goodbye. Bye.